many of you have ever felt like you prayed and prayed, but your prayers were just hitting the ceiling and they weren't going anywhere? Oh, who has ever felt that way? You prayed about something, you weren't getting any answer, and you just were tired. You persevered in prayer for many sleepless nights and no answer from God. Well, this is how the psalmist feels in today's Psalm of Lament. We don't know the circumstances, we don't know the background, but we know that it seemed that there was no relief in sight. So what do we do when things look bleak and there seems to be no answer from God? The psalm begins with an introduction in verse 1, and in this verse we see that God did eventually answer Asaph's prayer. But it wasn't always that way. Verses 2 through 6 describe misery and appeal. The psalmist tries everything, but nothing works. He prayed all night. He stretches out his hands to God. He begs for relief. What keeps you up at night? No matter how much or how hard Asaph prayed or how he prayed, things weren't getting any better. He couldn't rest. He couldn't go to sleep. He wanted to sleep, but he couldn't. And at the end of verse 2, he says that his soul refused to be comforted. There wasn't anything anybody could say that made him feel better. There wasn't anything he could do to make him feel better. There wasn't anything he could read to make him feel better. Have you ever been at a point in your life when your soul refused to be comforted? It's a dangerous place to be. Our souls cannot be comforted as long as we are focused on ourself, as long as we are being self-centered. We will not be comforted in our souls. The only way to change is to become God-centered, which we will see is precisely what the psalmist ends up doing. But before we get there, let's see what else the psalmist tried. Okay, I prayed all night, didn't work. I prayed different ways, it doesn't work. Well, then he thinks back to the past. Ah, remember those good old days? But the problem is, looking back at the good old days usually ends up only making you more depressed, because you realize that those were the good old days and maybe you can't do what you used to could do back then. Maybe you don't have the resources or the strength or the energy or the ability. And the good old days just, oh no, it makes you feel sad. The world changed and the world isn't going to be the way that it used to be. And plus, our memories are often skewed. We remember things better than they were sometimes, and sometimes we remember things worse than they were. It doesn't help to remember the good old days. And then the psalmist tries singing. And this seems to be the beginning of a turning point. I don't know if he was singing praise songs or blues songs, but both can be helpful. The psalm, after all, is a lament, and it is a song, and we have seen that the Psalter is full of these. These are the blues, and I'm sure their tunes weren't 12 bars, but the point is the same. Blues helps us express our feelings and brings about a cathartic release. The blues can help us see how ridiculous our feelings are, or how deceptive they can be, or how much worse our circumstances can be, and help us begin to take our eyes off of ourselves. Praise does the same thing. It takes our eyes off ourselves and puts them right where they belong. They put them on Jesus. When we start thinking about God and how great and mighty and God is, even when we can't thank God, we can praise God, because God never changes. God's character is the same. God's ability is the same. And we can praise. Praise reminds us of who God is and what God can do. Perhaps the psalmist sang praise about God's faithfulness and graciousness and mercy. And then as he sings, he asks these questions. Okay, God, if this is who you are, then have you stopped being these things? Have you stopped being gracious? Have you stopped being forgiving? Have you stopped being compassionate? He asks six questions. And 7 through 9. And we have learned in these verses, which are the center of the psalm, that the center is often the focal point of the psalm, and it should cause us to pay attention. These questions are regarding God's faithfulness, and I'm sure that the psalmist in his misery sincerely considered them as he prayed. But the answer to all six questions is no, even if it doesn't feel that way or seem that way at the time. We can have full confidence that God will bring us through whatever circumstances are keeping us up at night, making us miserable, and when our world is bleak. We have learned in our Experiencing God Bible study that we can't judge things from the middle of our circumstances. When we're in the storm and we look around, we think that's reality, but it's not. We have to seek God's perspective. I was telling Sally on Wednesday that one of my favorite songs is by a group called The Wayside. It's called From Up Here. And it is precisely an invitation to take a look at things from God's perspective, which is the way things really are, the ultimate reality. And the chorus of that song says, "Get a look from up here. Open your eyes. Take it in. This is the best perspective. This is the way the planet truly spins. Get a look from up here. Breathe it out. Breathe it in. This is a very moment to cast off your fear and enter in." See, singing can be very therapeutic. How has music been helpful to you as you have processed your emotions or your circumstances? But the only way to see from the up here point of view, the only way we can see from God's perspective is to be in relationship with God, to stay in the relationship. So although your prayers go unanswered, keep praying and keep listening. Maybe we're talking so much that we don't hear God talk back. But don't shut God out. Do what you know to be the revealed word of God, what God has already revealed as his will and has, you know, is right, the right thing to do until God reveals the next steps. And keep in mind that this too shall pass. Admit that you're not in control, you can't be in control, and rest in God's sovereignty. Another song that I like is one that's out now by Casting Crowns, Just Be Held. And verse 2 in the chorus says, "If your eyes are on the storm, you're going to wonder if I still love you, God says. But if your eyes are on the cross, you will know that I've always loved you, and I always will. Not a tear is wasted. In time, you'll understand I'm painting beauty with ashes. Your life is in my hands." So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on. Just be still. Your world's not falling apart. It's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on. Just be still and just be held. Just be held. When God seems distant, when our efforts fail, God calls us to rest. God calls us to be still, and God will carry us. God still holds us, and there is nothing that can take us out of the hand of God. Jesus said, "All things are given in his hands. No one can pluck us out of Jesus' hands." And he says, "My Father, who's greater than me, holds everything in his hand, and no one can pluck my people out of my Father's hands." Nothing can take us out of God's presence, God's love, God's power, God's protection. Again, from Experiencing God, we learned that there are two reasons that our prayers hit the ceiling. We don't hear back from God. One is because there is sin in our lives, something for which we have not repented. And this is what Job's friends accused him of being, but that was not the case. Because although that is often the case, it is not always the case. Sometimes God is silent because God is preparing us for something amazing. God is getting ready to reveal God's self in a new way to us. And this was what Job's case was. Yes, Job was sinful, no doubt about it. He was not perfect. But he actually knew it and he confessed it. If you read Job, you will hear Job admitting the things that he has done. It was not the reason that God was silent in the midst of his sufferings. At the end of the book, we see that God did reveal God's self in a new way to Job. When God spoke out of that whirlwind, Job's response is awestruck silence. Now, Job never ever finds out that Satan had asked permission from God to test him. He never finds that out. But what Job finds out about God is that God is a sovereign creator, the Lord of all circumstances, whose ways and thoughts are higher than Job's and whose purposes will not be thwarted. So if you've prayed and prayed and nothing has changed and you've asked the Holy Spirit to examine your heart and show you if there's sin in your life and you have revealed and you have confessed what's there and things aren't changing, then just be held. Get ready because your world is beginning to fall into place. God is shaping your character and God is about to reveal God's self to you in an amazing way regarding who God is, what God does. And then God's probably going to use you, invite you to become involved with God and God's work. God uses the silent times to prepare and strengthen our character, to build our trust in God so that we can step out in faith and do what's next. After asking these questions about God's faithfulness, despite no change in his circumstances and no answer from God, the psalmist, realizing that God will be faithful, meditates on God and God's works in the past. And this is where remembering the past can be helpful. It doesn't necessarily do us a lot of good to think about the good old days, but when we remember what God has done, then it's very helpful indeed. The focus on the past is not on the circumstances, but on what God has done, God's works. You might not be able to do what you used to be able to do, but God is certainly able to do what God has done in the past. Because God's ability never changes. He doesn't get weaker. He doesn't get less miraculous, less powerful. God doesn't change. God's love doesn't change. And the God of the past is also God of the present and God of the future. God is the one who is and was and is to come. Like one of the things that we have done as an exercise is to look back in our lives at spiritual markers. And it's one of the things that Chris Walker encouraged in his workshop that he did too. Go back in your life and look at the times where you know God was speaking or intervening. And think about those things and write them down, because those are the things that you can point to in your life to say, oh yeah, God was with me. And if God was with me here and here and here, God's going to be with me now and in the future. And these are also points in your life that you can use to talk to other people when they ask you about the faith that you have and the hope that you have, to say, I know God is real. I know Jesus is alive because this is what happened in my life. This is what God has done. This is how things are different. This is how this circumstance that I had came through. And this I know God will do again. The only way to break out of our circumstances, our bleak circumstances, is to go through them. God's not necessarily going to snatch us out, but he will bring us through. And the only way we can get through is with God shepherding us. So the psalm ends with the image of God as shepherd, leading God's people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. As the psalmist remembers God's mighty works, not just in his life, but in the life of the people of God, he knows that God is going to get him through. God has been a shepherd. God will be a shepherd. God is a shepherd. And God will lead you as well. In Psalm 23, the valley of the shadow of death was how David described a bleak time. But in every circumstance, we have the sure hope that God will carry us through. So stay in relationship with God, be held, and allow God to shepherd you and keep your eyes open for the amazing thing that God is about to do. Let us pray. Gracious God, even in the bleakest of circumstances, you are our hope. Thank you that nothing can take us out of your hands, that you hold us in the storm, and that there is hope for the future because you are our future. Lord, we thank you that you don't leave us, and we thank you that you hear our cries and our prayers, even when we don't seem like anything is happening. Help us to keep our eyes open and our ears open to listen and to see what you are about to do in our lives. Help us to be faithful and obedient to the things that you've already called us to do, and prepare our hearts for what you are calling us to do next. Thank you that you are always faithful to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.